I'd have loved to push Clint off that bench. But I don't think I could tote this no longer, I'm going to be honest with you.
I can't lift it. Ain't going to worry about it.
I'm glad you can't.
You preaching?
Come on. I don't even feel like preaching. I feel like standing here. I'm going to be honest with you. It ain't every time you get to get in this spot. I about feel like I've overread myself. Overstudied what we feel like we've gotten. I don't know what else to do but try. That's all we're going to do is try. Maybe one of these other brethren can come and straighten me out. Come on behind me. I don't know. I've been looking forward to this. I don't know if y'all have, but I sure have. I love this church, and I love the people in it. And I'm going to tell you why I do. And I don't mind saying it, and I don't care if this is recorded, and I don't care if it's live. There ain't many places that you go that people try as hard as they can to get in this spot right here. I feel like y'all get up and sing like you about to get up and preach. I appreciate that. There's so many revivals that we feel like we've helped in that they sit down and hope the preacher's got something to stir everybody up. But I appreciate y'all brought in the same thing that saved me. Yeah, I appreciate he didn't leave me the way that he found me. I appreciate most of all that he gave me a spirit, thank God. That's the only thing that'll work, Brother Jim. That's the only thing we've got that'll work in this life. I don't know. I got a peculiar thought, and I got a peculiar message, and I got weird scripture, and I'm probably going to preach it like I've never preached before, but that's all right, too. If I can give it to you the way the Lord gave it to me, I promise you'll enjoy it. It ain't nothing Landon Hamby's got, I promise you. But if I can get it out like he gave it to me, I sure enjoyed it. I'm thankful he saved me most of all. I feel so unworthy and so little tonight, I really do. To sit on that bench with these men and help in this revival, I feel so little and so small. I'll be honest with you, I was hoping both of them men would preach all week long and I'd just sit there and enjoy it. But if I've learned one thing in my life, serving the Lord, you better abide in your calling. Yeah, I ain't talking about preachers. I'm talking abiding in your calling. Don't lose your song, singer. Don't lose your testimony, saved one. Deacon, don't lose that authority to go and correct some things and help the church run. I've seen many preachers lose their messages, walked off and left this thing. We got a job to do for the Lord. Y'all can sit down and watch for the Lord on your lawnmower on the eastern sky, but we've got a job to do, church. If we've got air in our chest, we ought to be doing everything we can to serve the Lord tonight. I don't know. I got a strange thought. I don't know what scripture we're going to read. I could preach the whole book of Ephesians. I don't know what I'm supposed to read. If you want to flip to the book of Ephesians, we'll figure it out here in a second. I don't know. I thought about this scripture and I thought about this book, and I don't know why I ended up in this scripture, but the Lord just got us in this book and just been thinking about it and pondering upon it, and I ain't been doing no kind of personal study or none of that. It just, the other day, just brought me upon it, and I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try to set a little foundation, I guess you could say, before we get to this. I don't know. I guess I was just thinking about that transition period, about when they started going from Judaism into Christianity. And y'all all know what I'm talking about there, but that was a strange time for them to come to. They had their fathers for thousands of years before them that had went one way, and now somebody else was coming preaching another way. And I thought about this scripture in this time that Paul was in when he was writing this letter. It's important that we understand where they were coming from at this time. And I don't know if I had a thought thought that I was going to leave with you that mysteries are only mysteries if you never heard of them. And I'm going to try my very best to preach to you about the mystery of God tonight. I'm going to do my best. But I thought about this scripture, and I thought about this book, and I thought about the time they were in, and I thought about Paul and the times that he was going through. And we know what the struggle was. We've all read the book of Galatians, and you can see what takes place there in the second chapter. They call it the incident at Antioch. And we know there that Peter had helped establish a church there at Antioch. And we know it was a great city and great for trade and made a lot of money and was a good city and a good church that was there. We know that all throughout history. People wrote about it. But we see this story there where Peter comes and he's with Paul, and they're there with the Gentiles, and they're there having supper with them, and they're there talking with them, and they're communion with them. And it's important to understand that Jews were kind of okay with this gospel being preached as long as they were willing to be circumcised, as long as they were willing to keep up with Jewish traditions and stay with the old path and the old way. They were okay with it as long as they was willing to go all the way like that. Well, there Peter's sitting with them and having supper with them, and it says that some Jews came. I don't know if it was who it was, but maybe Sadducees, Pharisees, whoever it was. They come by, and Peter jumps up and goes over there with them and, you know, tries to clean up. And, well, I wasn't over here with them, and I wasn't preaching that new stuff where they are just saved by their own faith. I'm just over here. And we know the scripture there. Paul gets up from where he is, and you know what it says in the Bible? It said he withstood him to the faith, Joseph. He withstood him to the face and told him there, that you're wrong. You know which way we're supposed to be going. And just a little bit earlier in that chapter, he goes up on the mountain. I don't remember who he went with, Barnabas, Titus, somebody. Goes up there with him and preaches to James and Peter and all of them the gospel that God had revealed to him. It's an important time in this scripture that I'm reading to you. We didn't just have it where we could gather around the piano and say, all my hope's in Jesus. They were trying to figure some things out at that time. And we know there in Acts chapter number 15, we've got the Jerusalem Council. We know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees said, yeah, well, we'll graft them in, we'll bring them in, but they're going to have to get circumcised. They're going to have to follow the Nazarite vow. They're going to have to do all the things that our forefathers have done. So they call upon those ones with that new doctrine. They asked Paul and them to come up there, and it says that Paul and them, they didn't go straight there. What I appreciate about them is they went all the way preaching unto them. You know what it says? That the people and the brethren were joyous. That's what the Bible says. You can go look for it yourself, Acts chapter 15. But I'm going to tell you what happens when he gets there. They start telling him, Paul, we're okay with this. We are. We're okay as long as they'll get circumcised and do all these things. And they speak up and they tell him something important. They said, would you put the yoke of bondage back on those people that your fathers had, that even your fathers weren't able to obtain? He preached it all the way through. He talked about that yoke of bondage just like they did about the bread. When they said that we need this bread, we need that bread. And he told them, he said, did your fathers not eat that manna in the wilderness and die? They didn't understand. You know what it means if it don't understand? That means it's a mystery. Let me tell you something. They didn't come preaching Jesus Christ and all the way through to the Gentiles all the way through the Bible. This thing was a mystery unto them. I'm going to be honest with you today. It's a mystery to a lot of people, Brother Randy. It's a mystery to you if you're lost today. I'm going to let you in on a secret. I'm just going to hit the highlight for you right here. Chapter number 3 in the book of Ephesians. This is what the Bible says. It says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me toward youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. You know where he wrote that? Afore in just a few words? I'm going to read it to you. He wrote it in Romans chapter 16. He spoke of it here. Verse number 25 says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. All right, so it was a mystery that could only be done by a revelation. Now, I ain't talking about the book of Revelation. A revelation is something that is revealed to you that you can now see and now understand, and the best part of it is now obtain. Listen to what the Bible says in chapter number 3. He says, in verse 3 again, it says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He's got them sitting on the edge of their seats right here. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. There's a semicolon there. If this chapter ended right here, we would be, of most men, all miserable. But there's a semicolon. There ain't a period. There ain't an exclamation mark. There ain't a question mark. And it ain't the end of the sentence, thank God. Listen to what verse number six says. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's what I'm going to try to preach to you. A mystery's only a mystery if it's never been revealed. I'm going to tell you something today. That's the way a lot of people think about this Bible today. They think this whole 66 books is nothing but a mystery. We'll never know it. One day we'll find out. That's okay. I'm going to tell you something today. I'm going to let you in on a secret. Everything that is written in those 66 books has been revealed, has been told us, and has been preached through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every single book, every single word in there, he told us exactly what it was. And that's Christ and him crucified, thank God. We can argue about what's going to happen at the end of the world and what's going to happen at the end of time, but I'm going to tell you something. The revelation you better take part in and the parts you better understand today, it may be a mystery to you today. You may never have heard it before, understood it before, or heard it preached 100 times, but until it's revealed to you personally, you'll never understand it, Brother Dwight. He says something in there that's important. I'll be honest with you, I've had to ponder on this for quite a while. He starts off 2 chapters in a row calling himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ. How in the world could that be a good thing, church? To be a prisoner of something. We just sat down in there taking a prayer request, and I ain't telling nobody's prayer request, but everybody down there, probably 2 or 3, said, Brother Randy, I want you to pray for my family. I got a family member in jail. I got somebody down there. Let me tell you what they are. They got an inmate number. They're a prisoner of that thing. They are. So how in the world could being a prisoner of Jesus Christ be something good? I'm going to tell you something. If you didn't know this, for you Bible readers, and if you ain't a Bible reader, I'd encourage you to be one. It's a lot more joyous to be a Christian that way. I'm going to let you in on a secret of where he was when he got this parchment paper and pen. He sat right down there in prison as he wrote this very letter. Yeah, he wrote it. Was he a prisoner? Did Christ lock him up and he write this letter? He said he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And he tells us there in the very part of this book right here, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, the will of God. How in the world can you be a prisoner under the will of God? He was accused of crimes by the Romans. Was he not a prisoner of them? But the Jews made accusations against him and brought him forth. Was he not a prisoner of them? Boy, he appealed to Caesar. They did not stand before him, and that is why he was in prison. Not one time on either one of these chapters did he say, because I'm locked up by the Romans, because the Jews have me bound in fetters and chains, because Caesar didn't hear my words or hear my cry. Not one of them did he say that. But he said, yet I was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something that happens with a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Do you know what that means? That means you've been bought with a price. Do you know that that means that somebody did something for you to take part in that thing, Joseph? He didn't leave me the way that he found me. I'm going to tell you where he found me. He found me in the cells of sin. He found me out in that prison. This bondage that this world provides today, just like Adam did. When he sinned and fell out, he was handcuffed right there. He had a sin handcuff him today. He didn't leave me the way that he found me, Whitney. I'm thankful for that. He didn't leave him. You know what? Paul never got discouraged in the hard times. You know, that's what I appreciate about Paul. When something goes wrong in my life, Randy, I just put my head down and kick the can down the road sometimes. I don't get like Paul does. Paul's been in prison several times and arrested several times. And every time he did, he didn't get brought in front of no ruler and say, well, I take back what I said. If you'll just let me go, that'd be okay with me. No, sir, he didn't. He stood there and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to try to do tonight. I'm going to try to be just like Stephen. I ain't going to preach theology. I don't have no new doctrine. I don't have nothing to help get you learned or taught or educated. I'm going to do what Stephen did. He reared back and talked to that eunuch, or Philip did, and he just preached unto him Jesus. I promise you, he didn't leave me like he found me. And you can go through these 66 books, pick it apart, get me at the back door, and show me if not one person was ever left like they were found. They sure weren't. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, folks, you can look at it however you want to. You can read a rich young ruler that went away sorrowful, or you can read a man that lived by the pool of Siloam that said, I don't know. I was blind, but now I see. I don't know who he was, but I sure am glad I met him. Mysteries are only mysteries if they've never been revealed. I'm going to tell you something today. He's done revealed it unto you. Whether you're lost, and if you're saved, you've done got the revelation that matters. You done got the resurrection that matters. You get to take part in all that God has in store for you. You know what he called it? He said, among the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of God. You know what that means? I heard a commentator put it like this one time. I like this. Y'all may not like it, but I don't much care. I'm going to have to tell you because I feel good right now. But he said it would be about like a settler the first time they ever got to the United States or here in America. And if they walked all the way across and got to this body of water that they thought was a pond or a big lake, and as they tried to go all the way around, they realized it was the Pacific Ocean. That'd be about like the unsearchable riches of God. That's something you can't go around. That ain't something you can put your arms around. That ain't something you can figure out. There's scientists today that can prove gravity and mathematical equations, and they can figure out how to put people in space. But I'm going to tell you something. There ain't no math that can get you saved. There ain't no science project that can make you understand the grace of God. And there ain't nothing you can do to try to get away from Him today. He didn't leave me like He found me. I'm going to tell you something. You can go out these back doors after He speaks to you, and you're also not the same as when He found you. I'm going to tell you something. When you got an experience with God tonight, a lost sinner friend, you'll never be the same. You can submit and go out of here feeling good, or you can go out the back door different tonight. I wasn't going to read this, but I'm going to read this anyways. He starts off this letter to the church here in Ephesus, and he does that full introduction all through chapter 1 and introduces everything and tells them. But I'm going to tell you what he did, and I don't know if he did this on purpose, but I sure enjoyed it when the Lord showed it to me. And just listen to how he starts off each of these chapters. There's only a few chapters in the book of Ephesians. Listen to, just think about your life, where the Lord's brought you from, and think about how when you got saved, you didn't know all you had, and the older that you got, the more you appreciated God. Listen to what he says here. He says, and you, this is chapter 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked accordance to the course of this world. That sound familiar? You did the very best by what you thought the world needed. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Ain't that where you were? I did. I don't know about y'all. I lived on the course of this world. I did everything that Landon thought was best. I drank, I cussed, I did drugs. I did what Landon thought was best for Landon. Well, I smiled and told everybody that I had the same thing as everybody else. I had them secrets. Kim and Steven sing that song about them secret rooms. I had a whole bunch of them, Randy. I didn't have one room. Y'all might have had a small little hallway closet full of y'all sins. They couldn't have fit all mine in this church house. The things that I had hidden deep, my own wife thought I was saved, and I was going through the motions. Listen to what he says in chapter 3. I done read it to you. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, youward. Listen to what he says in 4. I, therefore, addresses himself again as the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Listen to this. And when you get saved and you start learning about God and you start learning about this Bible and you start learning that it ain't about you, how strong and how tough you are and what you can do in this world, and you start letting go and letting God, like Abram said he preached the other night, this is where you get to. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ain't that what we try to do as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord? Listen to what he starts out the next one with. Now, this might be a little confusing, but I'm just going to try to get out how the Lord showed it to me. He said in chapter number 5, he said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. When you first get saved, you don't understand what it is to be a prisoner. And you start growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, and that relationship gets sweeter and it gets better and it gets better. You don't feel much like a prisoner no more. You don't feel like you've been in captivity. You'll be the freest prisoner you've ever had in your whole life. But you start appreciating the Father as a child. As a child, that's important. Ain't that what we're supposed to do, is follow our Father? Listen to what he says in chapter number 6. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The revelation's been revealed, whether it came to you tonight or it came to you some other time. But I'm going to tell you something. It's high time to do something about it. I'm going to ask you tonight, what's your excuse? What's in your way? Are you lost without the Lord and you know it, and you've done your very best just to continue on and just go on with it throughout your life and try to do the best you can, but then you get in services like this and they sing songs like that and the Spirit feels like this? And then it all comes flooding back. You can't hide that. You can do your best to hide being lost, but everybody knows. When the Spirit flows breast to breast, you might as well stand up with a highlighter t-shirt on and say, it's me. I'm going to tell you what's easy to do in the church house. It's easy for us to look around and say, boy, I wish that one would get it. Boy, I wish that one would make some acknowledgments. Do you know what it would be good for us to do is flip over the hymnal and sing, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's easy when you get to sit on the bench and say, I'm where I need to be. Everybody else needs to get where they need to be, and we'd have some good services. We'd see some people saved. You know, about the time you get right there, that's about the spot you need to go ahead and hit here. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. Maybe you're saved. Maybe you're doing your Sunday morning and you're there and you've been dropping in the offering plate, but Sunday nights is a lot. Wednesday night you're asking a whole bunch, Randy. I don't have time for that. Maybe it's time for you to take another step with the Lord. Maybe you're prayed up right in the center of God's will and you've been preaching and got liberty, Joseph. Maybe we're right where we need to be. You better take another step forward. That's what I hope we do this week. I hope somebody gets saved, Randy, but I hope the whole church takes one big step forward. I hope we get a little bit closer to God this week. I hope we can evaluate ourselves. Ain't that what you got to do with your employer? Anybody work with somebody, had to go sit down and you had to get evaluated? It's fun when they say, you're here on time, you're obedient, you got some good leadership qualities. You know what's not fun? When you get to the weaknesses part. Nobody likes to be told, well, you could do a little bit better job being more organized. Let me tell you something today. It's important we sit down with the Lord and do some checking up. Yeah, be honest with ourselves. Yeah, you can stand up and make acknowledgments all you want to. You can do this, you can do that. But my mama told me when I was about 7 years old, and I think it's probably truth, that actions speak louder than words. You want to show God? You want others to see it in you? Well, I'm going to tell you something. We quote that scripture all the time, that old things passed away. Y'all sang a song about it, that all things became new. I'm going to tell you something. If all things passed away and you became new and you're a new creature in Christ, then you as a creature better show something good about your Creator. Because if you're a new creature in Christ and you ain't showing a good report about your Creator, then nobody's going to want what you got. That's the truth. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody can say, well, that King James is hard to understand, and I don't get it, and it's tough, and boy, I can't get in that book of Revelation. I hope Randy teaches on it, because I sure don't get it. We can throw up our hands and quit, or we can get down to business with God like they did at that Jerusalem council and got some correction about them and get a little bit closer to God this week. There's some sustainability in this. It ain't about... I'm going to tell you the best thing you can ever do with God is get more consistent than you've ever been in your life. We go out there on the golf course and in 18 holes, I bet I'll hit 5 or 6 good shots. But when you play with a real good golfer and they put it up there next to the hole every time they get up to swing, they're consistent about this thing. You can see the Christians that are consistent, and you can see the ones that come in and 3 or 4 months later they're out, and then they're back in again, and then they're back out again. You can see it in their walk because that's the relationship they have with God. But the closer you get with God, the more you realize you can't go without Him. If you're truly decreasing and He's increasing, you can't take another step without Him, church. This ain't no mystery no more. If it's a mystery to you, He'll give you a revelation here tonight. He'll reveal it to you. He'll let you know where you stand. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're so bold to ask yourself, God, where do me and you stand? You'll get an answer. It may not be one you like, but it's one you can do something with. You got something to work with at least. If we sit down and do nothing and let our heart get calloused and cold and we just sit back and say, well, there are a bunch of hypocrites in here and you don't know what I've done and this and that and the other, you'll get nothing from God. But when you get lowly, humble, and meek and willing to say, I can't do it, I can't tote this anymore, it's too heavy for me. You want to know why Paul wrote some of the best letters in prison? He didn't have nobody distract him, mess with him. He didn't have the world to get in his way. You know why people get good messages when they sit in the deer stand or just driving down the road or ladies might at the hair salon, wherever you are, maybe cooking or whatever it else, that's where God speaks to you. I heard more great messages preached about gardens than I ever did about sitting in traffic, going to the mall. It'd do us some good to get off by ourselves, have some experiences with God. You know that book of Revelation that was, he didn't get that while he was in downtown Jerusalem during Passover. You know where God gave him that revelation? All the way off by himself on the island of Patmos. It'd do us good to get off by ourselves. It'd do us good to get off away. I'm going to tell y'all something. I'll tell on myself, and I'm okay with that. I ain't perfect. I'll be honest with you. I'm the least perfect in here. I'm going to be honest with y'all for a second. I ain't told nobody this, but I'm going to tell y'all. We went out there to Hopewell a week or two, whenever they had revival, and Eddie Kerr got up and preached a wonderful message. Couldn't even tell you exactly what he preached on, but he did a good job. On my way home, the Lord preached a message to me. It was to me. It was what I had been doing wrong. It wasn't what y'all had done wrong. It wasn't a message for y'all, but I'm going to tell you what the Lord showed me. It was me. Standing in the need of prayer. I got to listening to some music, and we was listening to different things, and the Kingsmen came on from I don't even know how long ago. It was old track. They were singing Glory Road. And they were singing that, and I was listening to it, and the Lord started working on me and started dealing with me. He started letting me know I had let some things grown up in my life. I got some things in the way of me and Him. That don't feel good when that happens. That's not a pleasurable experience you get to have with God. But I'm going to tell you, He brought back into remembrance. Me and my wife bought her grandparents' house. We've been there about 6 years, I think, this year. And when we first moved in, I thought I ain't even worthy to live here. Her grandfather was Billy Williams, and a lot of people knew him, and he was a great preacher man and a great man of God. And I thought, boy, I'm just starting out on my journey, and I'm nothing. I ain't even worthy to be here. Some of his books was there. I'd read some of his books and some of his notes. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build me a rock altar out back here. Maybe I'll learn some things from Billy while I'm here. And he's been dead and gone since 2005. I never even met him. But me and him's had some meetings. I don't know if y'all know what I'm talking about, but me and him's had some time together. But I got off back there. And everybody that talks about Billy talks about he had beagles. And they had them off back there. So I got me a wheelbarrow and I got me some rocks off the property. Got me some that I brought also because that thing had some things to do with me. And I took them off back there and I built me a little rock altar. And I prayed over that thing. And I'd love to tell y'all that every night I go out there at 7 p.m. before supper time and I pray over them rocks. But I'm going to tell you what's happened. I've been there 6 years, I told you. I bet I've prayed out there maybe 3 times. You ought to say shame on you. That is shame on me. But I didn't go back out there. The Lord started speaking to me when I was coming up I-75. I got just past Union Grove headed towards Adairsville. And the Lord was working on me. And I was feeling pretty bad about myself. I'm going to be honest with y'all. He let me know I'd got some things grown up in my life. I'd let some things mess up in my life. And I thank God when I got home, my wife was in bed and my daughter was in bed with her. And I'm thankful for that because I didn't want to talk to nobody. There was some conviction going on about my heart. And I walked out back there where that rock pile was. I'm going to tell you what I saw. I got out there and there was thorns and there was vines that had grown over the top of that thing. You couldn't even see it. Some of the rocks had rolled off to the side and there was thorns all over the top of it. And I stood out there and I cried my eyes out. I ain't told nobody about this. I stood out there and cried my eyes out because it let me know that I started off. I did run well, but something did hinder me. Oh, was it that devil in that old red suit with that pointy horns and that pitchfork? No, sir, it wasn't. It was Landon today. I got in the way of men, Lord. I got some things in the way. I got my workplace in the way. I got my kids' softball in the way. I got things in the way of this. Preacher, you're our preacher here in revival. You're supposed to be cleaned up and ready. I'm honest tonight. But I'm going to tell you what I did. I got down on my knees in my dress clothes, didn't even go change. And I started pulling vines out. And I ripped every single one of them out. I got me a good little path around there, got her good and cleaned up. I restacked them rocks just how they were supposed to go. And I got down to business with the Lord and got to praying out there. I'm going to tell you what happened. All the guilt that I felt, all the hurt that I had in my heart, all the things that I felt like I'd had built up between me and God, He just moved them out of the way, thank God. What's He going to move out of your life tonight? What's He going to move out tonight? You got something in your way of you and God? Get honest with Him tonight. The problem is tonight is we've got comfortable just going through the motions. We've got comfortable just playing church. We got our nice dresses on and our suits on, but it's about time we get down in the dirt, we rip some things out of the way, and just enjoy God again. Y'all go ahead and sing. You better go ahead and sing. Y'all come on, come sing a song. Somebody in here needs something from God. It's up to you to get up and come get it. You got vines in your life? You better come get them out. You ain't got that rock altar in your life? Come build one. You got cleaned up and got it where you need to be? Good. Get up and come up here and pray for someone else. Come on, sing. What do you need from God tonight? He's standing there. He ain't never ran low on salvation. Your gas tank might have said E one time and you got to hit the gas station, but He ain't never ran out of grace today. Hey. What do you need from Him today? He's standing there in the aisle waiting on you. Hey. Don't hope we sing one more verse. Don't hope nothing. Put your hope in Him tonight. If not, you'll be a most men most miserable. All men most miserable. Don't say, I should go to God. I must go to God. I should fix these things in my life. I must fix these things in my life. I wished I was closer. I must get closer. Why not move up tonight? Get a little closer to Him, church. Let's take a step forward tonight. We come here to have revival. Let's have revival. Come on, church. Stand to your feet. We're going to sing something, and I want y'all to sing it like you don't know the words on the book, but they're written in your heart tonight. Just come on tonight. We ain't going to try to sing one more verse. The lights ain't going to flicker. He ain't going to whisper your name. But the feeling you got in your heart, come get it off you tonight. Just come on. Just come on tonight. He's the only one that can help you. Come get it from him tonight. He wants you to help. He wants to help you. Go get your work gloves off the shelf. Knock the cobwebs off of them.
Yeah.